We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Randy Mac, what up?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
So, Randy, how did that hibachi thing work out for you last night? Were you making, like, noodles?
Yeah, man. We were, because, like I said, they bought it for me for Christmas Eve, and I finally put it together this week. And so wife was like, she wants some griddled food. So I'm like, okay. And so went out there and we put some steak on there and put some locale noodles on there. And before she got here, I was trying to do that onion thing, the volcano.
That's what you was trying to do?
I was trying to do it before she got here because I know she wouldn't like that idea of me trying to do that and maybe blowing up her house. But I can't do that yet, but I'm still working on that.
I see your hibachi skills, man, and I was kind of impressed. For that to be the first time you cranked it up and the way you was putting the season on the noodles and everything, I was impressed, dog. I really was.
Are you going to get to where you could, like, flip shrimp into people's mouths?
John, I'm working on all that right now. Like I said, there's nobody home right now, so I might sneak out there this afternoon. I got some shrimp in the freezer right now, so it's just me and the dog, so I might try and toss her some shrimp. How about that?
that might work, but, you know, it's going to be different because the dog can probably actually catch the shrimp if you throw a bad pass or something. So it's going to be, you know, you're going to have to, you know, kind of gauge that to see how good your shrimp game is.
Randy Mac will be, of course, part of the coverage tonight. 7 o'clock is when our coverage begins ahead of the draft in Nashville, which starts at 8 Eastern time, 7 in Nashville. As we talk about the Falcons draft, hey, Ian Rappaport has just tweeted this in the last couple of minutes, Randy and Hugh. This is Ian Rappaport, Randy. Two teams that have shown a willingness to trade into the top 10, doing their homework this morning on what it would cost the Falcons and the Redskins. For Washington, it would likely be for a quarterback. For Atlanta, the options are varied. What do you think the odds are that the Falcons do trade up tonight?
Well, I mean, John, it's always a possibility. We know how aggressive that Thomas can be. And the thing with the Redskins is that they're trying to get Dwayne Haskins, I think. And I think they got to get in front of the Giants. Even though I don't think the Giants are going to take him at 6, you can't take that risk. I think the biggest thing is what do the Raiders do? Because if the Raiders go with Josh Allen or somebody else, that means that the Falcons may have to get in front of Buffalo at 9 if they want to get Ed Oliver.
So when you look at Oliver and they're potentially trading up to get him, I look at it as almost in the same caliber as when you moved up to get Julio Jones. And we all know what Julio Jones has been to this organization. If you get Ed Oliver, if you move up to get Ed Oliver, do you look at him the same way that you would a Julio Jones?
Hugh, and I heard y'all when y'all were talking about that. And when I was on with Chris earlier this week, we found out if they're trying to go that high, it's going to cost them a 1, 2, or 3 this year, maybe a 2 next year. And that's to go to 3. So it might not be as expensive to get up there, maybe at 8 with the Lions. But I'm with you. If you're going to trade up like that to get a defensive lineman, he's got to be a generational type player. And I said all along through the draft process, I didn't like the match with him and Grady as far as the size. But now I've gone away from that a little bit because I went back and I thought about, like, just teams that drafted players that didn't fit the scheme, but they were so great that you picked them. I remember when Von Miller went to the Broncos. Von Miller was a 3-4 outside linebacker. Well, the Broncos were a 4-3 defense. But you know what they did? They lined up in the underfront and just let him go get the guy. So I think if they do get to Ed Oliver, Dan will find ways that he can keep those double teams off of him and Grady so much and let them just penetrate up the field.
Well, you also have Randy Mac. You went out and signed Tyler Davidson, who's got the 310-pound bulk to be a run stuffer. You still have Deidre Sinnott, who's been putting on some muscle over the offseason here. So you do have in packages, you know, and the ability to, you know, put one of those guys as a run stuffer, even bounce Ed Oliver to the outside spot, could you not?
Yeah, you could, because Ed Oliver was used out of position all his whole career. They played him as a 0 nose guard. And now he's more of a what you would call a traditional 3 technique. But I think when you look at how they got Davidson, you got a Sinnott, you can do those kind of packages, John. But my thing with Ed Oliver is I don't want to put him out of tackle. I know people were talking about having him as a end. They were talking about outside linebackers. But no, he's a prototypical 3 technique. You put him over that guard and you let him do what he does best.
Speaking of guards, Randy Mack, you know, there's been some speculation with some of these draft pundits that the Falcons could potentially take an offensive lineman with their first pick, even if they stay at 14, if they move up. How do you feel about that, and how do you feel like if they do get that guy, how he would fit into this offense right now?
Well, the thing was, I've been on the same thing with John all season. If you're going to take a guy in the first round, that ain't for depth purposes. You're looking for a starter right there. And when I look at these guard situations, because the one thing about what the Falcons do is they always get their needs. They might not get them when we want them to in the first round or so, but they'll get them eventually down the road. Because we knew last year they needed a D lineman. Well, they finally got one in the third round, but it addressed the need. And when I look at these guards, you got to find a guard who can play right away, but also a guy who maybe if something does happen to Alex Mack, you can move him over to center. And, I mean, if you look at the different type players, I mean, Cody Ford's probably going to be a first-round pick. The kid Lindstrom out of Boston College, he'll be a first-, second-type round guy. But if you go down the list a little bit, you got Peter McGovern from Penn State. He'll be a perfect pick for the Falcons there in the second round because, like John Chuckery said, they got to get some cheap labor on that offensive line eventually because you got so many guys coming up for contracts that you can't afford to be paying, you know, a veteran guard that kind of money. So, eventually, if they go first round with an offensive lineman, somebody's going to eat some money because you look at all the money they gave out, Tyson Brello, Jamon Brown, James Carpenter. You can't have all those guys on the roster if you're going to draft the O-lineman in the first round. You got to start, right?
Right. You have to start. You cannot be on the bench. This is not a depth draft, not for this win-now team. Randy Mack joining us here. Randy, we'll get back to the Falcons in a moment. I want to expand this out. Randy Mack will be part of our coverage with Mike Conley, Wes, and Dave tonight, beginning at 7 ahead of the NFL draft. First round in its entirety, and since it's in its entirety, are you one of the people that thinks that it might go chalk, or do you, and Kyler Murray goes number one, or do you think that there could be a bunch of moves and we could see a lot of horse trading in the first round?
I think you're going to see more horse trading in the back of the first round, John, because the thing with quarterbacks is we know they get pushed up. And eventually, in that back end, that 30, 31, 32 pick, if there's a quarterback that might be a early commit second rounder, you might trade back in so you can get that fifth year option on them. And guys, I mean, when you look at the quarterbacks that might fall in that category, because I know a lot of people are talking about Daniel Jones. I'm not a big Daniel Jones fan. I think he's getting pushed up a lot because of the relationship with his coach and the manager and all that. But if you look at maybe a Jarrett Stidham or Ryan Finley, somebody like that, I love Tyree Jackson, the quarterback from Buffalo, but I don't think somebody would trade back in the first round for him. But those type of players, if you think that potentially it could be a franchise guy down the road, you trade back in to maybe 32 or 31, and you get him so you can get that fifth-year option. But, John, you know this. Quarterbacks always get pushed up, and that could be the thing that helps the Falcons if the quarterback, if Washington does jump up to get that quarterback in the top five, that can push everything back. Because I think Denver's going to take Drew Lock at 10 if he's there. And then you got another D-lineman that's coming back to the Falcons.
Yeah, speaking of Drew Lock, he said something yesterday that caught my attention. He said, this is his quote, Randy Mack, I'd 100% rather go to the 32nd team and the right team than number one to a bad team. And I think that that's a dangerous comment because if he gets drafted, not by the 32nd team and the right team being the Patriots to back up Tom Brady, whoever he drafts him, the first thing they're going to, well, did you get your wish or are you on a bad team? He's going to get called on the carpet for that.
Man, you don't shut the hell up, Drew Lock, man, and you're going to go wherever they pick you. Man, just stop, okay? Whoever picks you, you're going to be honored to go there, and I'm sure he would be. But let me tell you something. You're going to go into a situation. Denver ain't the greatest team. They got some great players, but they ain't the best team. So if he goes there, he's going to have some growing pains. He might have the opportunity to learn because Joe Flacco's there, but don't miss me with that. I want to go to another team. No, you're going to go wherever they pick you. You're going to learn the system and go there and try to be a productive player.
And not only that, Randy, you know this is just as well as I do. Whatever team, if you do go to a bad team and after they hear those comments, you might have all kind of problems as a young quarterback going to that team because there's some prideful guys on that squad.
Oh yeah, you know that, man. You was in the locker room when the rookies came in, just like I was, and you know the respect that you have to be earned because it's not given, especially if you're a top flight quarterback or something like that. Of course, they're gonna look at you crazy because we look at you as being the savior to the organization. Because I don't care whatever you got going around you, if you don't got that position right, it's gonna be a struggle for a long time.
Oh, Randy, no question about that.
Joining us this morning, I want to ask both you, Randy, and you, Hugh, a question. In regards to the number one pick, Kyler Murray, and I want to frame it in this way. I think, and we all know, we understand, back-to-back Heisman winners coming out of Oklahoma, that Kyler Murray showed that he is a game-changing kind of presence on the field, especially in that game against Alabama, if you didn't already know it. But here's my question. If he goes number one overall, and we all assume he does, Hugh, I want you to jump in on this too. Go back to last year with Baker Mayfield. Who, in your opinion, is going to be the better quarterback long term, Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray?
I think Baker. I think Baker. As much as I like Kyler, Baker's set up for success right now. They went out and got receivers for him. They got a pretty good offensive line, and they got a run game. So I think right now Baker's set up for success. The thing with Kyler is I think the head coaching thing. How good a coach is Cliff Kingsbury? How good a head coach is he? Because if you wanted an offensive coordinator, you could have got the Arizona Cardinals could have got him as an offensive coordinator, I think. I honestly think that. But they wanted to give him the keys to the organization because he's this guru and everybody's looking for the new Sean McVay. They have got to get some people around this young guy because their O-line, Josh Rosen struggled, but that O-line, John, was one of the worst I've ever seen. You saw that firsthand when they came into Atlanta last year. They were just god awful.
Yeah, I would agree with Randy on this one because the thing about the two coaches, and we're talking about, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and Freddie Kitchens, is that at least with Freddie Kitchens, we have a small sampling size of what he could potentially be and what they could do with the weapons that they have with Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. With this other guy, Kingsbury, he hasn't really – when you look at his college resume, what has he won? What is his college record? I don't think he has too many winning seasons as a head football coach. And now you're talking about being in the NFL. You're talking about giving cats cell phone breaks, professionals, cell phone breaks. And you're drafting a young quarterback that's going to be finding his way the same way that you're going to be finding your way as a head coach. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is better set up for success in this situation.
Talking with Randy Mack, one thing about Kingsbury is that if you start to think about the quarterbacks he had in college, whether it was Johnny Manziel or Baker Mayfield, I mean, he does, you know, and he was a great – Kingsbury in his own right was a great college quarterback. So that's just kind of interesting. We're talking about the NFL draft. It is draft day 2019. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the Falcons will draft somewhere around 10 o'clock if they stay at number 14. I want to jump into the draft a little bit more than just round one with you for a moment, Randy. I think the Falcons, if they don't trade up for Ed Oliver today, they are definitely going to trade up in round two because I think that, to me, a home run on this draft, all right, this is my home run, would be Christian Wilkins at 14 and then Arak Yassin or maybe a DeAndre Baker, whoever you think the best cornerback is, in round two. And you may have to trade up from 45 to, say, 36 or 7 to get him. So I could see whether they would do that. So I think that the Falcons, if they don't move today, they're going to be moving on Friday.
Well, I mean, I think Christian Wilkins will be there at 14 if they stay there. I mean, because I think he fits a lot in what they do. And I know a lot of people are mocking him to the Falcons. When you look at the cornerback position, because right now that won't surprise me because they need a corner. And like I said earlier, they address all their needs. It just might not be in the order that a lot of people think they should. I love Rocky Sin. I think he's the best overall corner in the draft. That's why I think he will go in the first round. But if you look at DeAndre Baker, he might slide. Byron Murphy from Washington, he may slide. Trayvon Mullen from Clemson, he may slide. So all those guys should be there for him. But I'm with you, John, in order to get it, because I think if there's only one or two corners drafted in the first round, there's going to be a run on the second round. And I think the running back situation will be – you'll have the run on those cornerbacks and interior offensive linemen. Because if they want to go out and get a center or a guy who might take over for a Alex Mack, you could get Garrett Bradbury of NC State or this kid Jenkins out of Mississippi State. He is a dog. And I'm talking about he is a guy that, you know, when Alex Mack moves on, if you want to put him in there right there, he can be your center for the next 10 years. He's that good a player.
All right, final question for me, Randy Mack. There are 10 Georgia Bulldogs who are going to be drafted by all accounts in the 7-round mocks. Are any of those 10 going to be drafted by the Atlanta Falcons?
I think I probably think, John, the one that makes the most sense to you here a lot, I love Miko Hardman. I really love this kid. And I think that he would be a great addition to them as far as a return specialist and those things, and then give him an opportunity because the one thing about his time at Georgia, he never got an opportunity to develop into a true wide receiver. It was always you throw him a little bubble screen or you just let him go down the rail and you just throw a 9 route to him. So I would love to see him here somewhere maybe 4th, 5th round and allow him to develop and watch how Julio gets down and Muhammad Sanu and those guys. But if you get a guy like that, you're talking about field position, you're talking about explosive plays on special teams, which the Falcons haven't had in a long, long time. So I would love to see Miko in a Falcons uniform.
Well, it's certainly going to be a fun night. Are you bringing the grill to Mercedes?
I mean, I got the hitch for the truck, so I mean, you know, I could set up a sign and do some fried pork chop sandwiches or some grilled.
Well,
pork
he was
chop
talking
sandwiches.
About Wade Ford having you bring.
Oh yeah,
you know,
he's
bring
gonna bring some meat and let Randy do his thing. That might be a bit though. We might grill with Randy at half, like you know, right before you know when we're out there grill with Randy at every break. Just go out there and let Randy grill. That'd be awesome. Hey, get him a mic and let him grill.
The Falcons experts continue. Thanks, Randy Mack. Do appreciate.
All right, guys. I'll take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.